find in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 25. You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, you can. I'm not going to read it. We're going to get into some other scripture this morning. But in 1 Samuel chapter 25, you'll find that the prophet Samuel had died. And it talks about an incident that took place in the life of David. David and his men were still running from Saul, who was still the king at the time. And while they were in that countryside, if you will, or what's referred to as the wilderness, David sent 10 of his men to a place called Carmel. And in Carmel were some employees of a man named Nabal. And Nabal was a farmer, was very prosperous, very wealthy. And David had sent his men to go ask Nabal if they could get some food and some provisions. And if you understand the background and you read the story found in 1 Samuel 25, you'll find that while David was in the wilderness or in the countryside, he protected Nabal and his employees and his property. And his employees acknowledged that while David was there, they were safe. And their stuff was protected. And so David sent these 10 men to ask if they could bring back some provisions for the rest of them. And Nabal was an idiot. And copped an attitude and told David's representatives, "No. Why am I going to take my stuff and give it to people that I don't know? You know, anybody can leave their master," and he's referring to David, giving him a dig. And he said, "I'm not giving you squat." That's my modern paraphrase. And so the men went back and reported to David what Nabal had said. Well, David became angry and told his men, "Get your swords. We're going to Carmel, and when we're done, there will not be one man left." This is the expression that you find in the Old Testament, to piss against the wall. In other words, we're going to kill every man we find. Well, one of the young men heard this conversation and shared it with Nabal's wife, who was a woman named Abigail. And Abigail had more sense than her stupid husband. And so she quietly got some employees together and said, "I want you to get some grain, some corn, some bake some bread. I'm going to take this stuff to David's men." And so she sent her employees, saddled up all this provision, and sent it ahead of her. And then she followed behind and found David and came and fell at his feet. And she basically told David this, "David, I'm so sorry for what my husband said to you. He is a fool. Don't pay any attention to him. I'm going to make sure your men have plenty to eat. But I want you to realize that there's a calling on your life. And one day you will be the king of Israel. But don't do this. Because when you become king, you don't want any innocent blood on your hands, and you don't want this blot on your conscience." And David said to her, "You know what? You're a gracious woman. If you had not come and spoken to me, I would have killed your husband and killed all the men. But because of you, I'm going to spare their lives." So Abigail averted a great tragedy in Carmel. And it was all the result of Nabal being stubborn and stupid. But David had a problem with his anger, to the degree that he was willing to go in there, kill Nabal, and kill all of his employees and every man he could find. But Abigail helped him avert this. So Abigail, being the wonderful woman that she was, went back home, and her husband had a party. And she waited until he was nice and liquored up. And she said to him at this party, "You know what? I did something for you. that you need to appreciate. When you rejected David's men, he became so angry, his intent was to kill you and to kill every man he could find. But because of me, he spared your life. In other words, she told him, "Fool, you don't know how close you came to dying." And she shared that with Nabal. And the scripture says that Nabal suffered a stroke. And 10 days later, he died. But the point that I want to talk a little bit about this morning is anger. I don't know why Nabal rejected David and his men. Maybe he had been offended. Maybe he was had some allegiance to Saul, the king. But David became so angry, he was willing to kill this man and kill every man that he could find. Now, before you look down your nose at David, understand that he was a man just like us, number one. Number two, he wasn't born again. You have an advantage over David the king. Are you with me? As far as covenants go, you enjoy a much richer covenant than what David had. But Abigail saved her household from a great tragedy because of her kindness. We're going to talk this morning about anger. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about anger. Find it all throughout the scripture. Here are just some of the things that the Bible says about anger. Number one, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. He that angers quickly deals foolishly. Here's another one. Don't be hasty in your spirit to be angry. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. Don't make friends with an angry man. Now, we're going to look at that one. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. There's a lot that the Bible says about anger. We need to understand what anger is. I think most of us know that. We can recognize anger when it shows up. But what do we do with it? How do we handle it? Notice Proverbs chapter 22, beginning with verse 24. I'm reading from the New King James, and it says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man don't go, lest you learn his ways," and notice this, "and set a snare for your soul." Anger can be an issue that can literally be a trap that's tough for you to escape in life. If you don't know how to handle anger properly, you can ruin relationships. You can impact your career in a negative way. You can derail God's purpose and plan for your life. You know, there was a story in the Old Testament about Moses when Israel needed water. And they had run into this circumstance before. And God told Moses to strike a rock and water came out. Well, it worked that way the first time. This next time, God told Moses, "I want you to speak to the rock." Well, Moses didn't obey God. Instead of speaking to the rock, he slapped the rock with a stick. Nothing happened, so he slapped it again. And he had said to Israel, "Does God have to bring water out of this rock for you rebels?" He was angry. Well, water came out of the rock. Israel had their needs met. But that one incident cost Moses dearly. Because at the end of his life, God told him, "You'll get to see the promised land, but you won't enter into it because you broke faith with me," or "you didn't obey me in an area." Now, why didn't God allow Moses in? Well, that's something you'll have to ask him. Okay. But he's trying to teach us something. That anger can cause you to miss God. And it can derail God's purpose for your life. And so when the Bible says make no friendship with an angry man, he says that for one reason. So you don't act just like him. so you don't pick up his temperament, if you will. Here's another one. Jesus said this, whoever is angry without cause is in danger of judgment. Anger can be a dangerous thing. But I want to show you that anger is a human emotion, something that's sort of built into us, if you will, standard equipment. But what do you do with it? How do you handle it? Is it a sin to be angry? Turn to Mark chapter 3. Let me show you something. Mark chapter 3. Here in the Gospel of Mark, we have a very interesting narrative. And we've read this same account from different Gospels. But there's something that you find in the Gospel of Mark that you won't find in some of the other writings. Notice, we'll begin with verse 1, Mark chapter 3. And he, that's referring to Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they, that is, all those who were gathered in the synagogue, including the Pharisees and some of the religious leaders, so they watched him closely whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. Then he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Now, this is a very revealing portion of Scripture, and that's why I love the Bible so much, because it always gives you the entire picture. It tells you the truth, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's there for you to see. But Jesus looked around at these men, and the Scripture says, with anger, because of the hardness of their hearts. Now, these people were so hardened to the things of God that when a man's withered arm is restored miraculously, just like the other one, they got mad. You'd think they'd be happy. You'd think they'd be glad that now this man has full use of his limbs. No, they were angry because they were jealous of Jesus. And the first thing they did after synagogue was plot how we can kill this guy. Do you know one of the events that was an instrumental thrust that led to the crucifixion of Jesus was when he raised Lazarus from the dead? When he raised Lazarus from the dead, it sent shockwaves throughout that community, and the Pharisees had had enough. They said, now he's raising the dead. We've got to get rid of this guy. So they not only plotted to kill Jesus, they plotted to kill Lazarus because his testimony was changing the lives of people. It is a shame when religion gets to be so bad that it injures people. My wife has a saying that I've never heard before. She's the first person I ever heard say it. She said, there's no hurt like a church hurt. There's no hurt like a church hurt. I thought, wow, that's insightful. And she's right. Many times people are hurt in church and they don't know how to handle it and they become angry. Many times people are hurt in life and they don't know how to handle it or they don't know the proper perspective and they become angry. My father lived his life that way. He was angry at God for decades because some stupid preacher told him that God killed his father, my grandpa. Well, that wasn't true. You know, when somebody's going through tragedy, don't throw out religious platitudes and one-liners that you heard somebody else say that really have no truth in them. It doesn't work. Are you with me? I know it doesn't work. But let the Holy Spirit bring comfort. But my father was angry at God because the preacher said the Lord took it. Well, the Lord didn't take my grandpa. Something else took it. Are you with me? Y'all getting this?
Yep.
I remember the story of a fellow who worked in a power plant. And one of his duties was at a certain time he had to put on a rubber glove, stand on a mat, and pull a lever to shift power from one generator to another. And there were a lot of volts going through this thing. Well, one night he was doing his job and the mat wasn't there. But yet he proceeded to put on the glove and pull that lever and he died instantly. And somebody said to a minister, well, the Lord took him. He said, no. He said, sound to me like 50,000 volts took him. Wasn't the Lord. Are you with me? Now, he went home to be with Jesus. He was a believer. But to say that God took him is a mistake. It's erroneous. It's not true. Amen? So what people say now is, well, God doesn't make mistakes. No, he doesn't, but we do. And just because we make mistakes, don't blame God. That's another message, but I'm not going to lay that one on you today. Jesus was angry. Sometimes religion can be mean. So how do we handle that? If you're not careful, you can become angry. If you don't deal with anger and it lingers, it can turn into bitterness. And bitterness can grow deep roots. And bitterness can be so bad that the seed that you plant will show up in your kids. You know, you planted the seed, they eat the fruit. So what do we do with this thing called anger? Jesus was angry. Is it a sin to be angry? No, it's not a sin to be angry. But I'm going to show you what the Bible says about anger and how to control it. All right? Do you want to know how to control it? All right. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. This is some good practical instruction. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus deals with a lot of things. In the first three chapters, it's a lot of positional truth. In the last three chapters, it's a lot of practical instruction. So, Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verse 25. If you got it, say, I got it. Notice what it says. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Now, here's some very practical instruction when it comes to anger. We need to be truthful at all times in our communications and dealings with others, family members, strangers, believers, people that we know, people that we love, people that we don't know. We always need to be honest and be people of integrity. There are times people will do and say things that make you angry. That is life. Get used to it. You've been angry before, it won't be the last time. But let's make sure you handle it properly the next time. You with me? Notice what the scripture says. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You could exchange the words anger and wrath. But he tells us, don't let the sun go down upon your anger. In other words, you will invariably in life have situations with people that you need to resolve. But what the scripture is telling us is take care of it immediately. Resolve it that day. Don't let the sun go down till you get it right. You with me? I remember many, many years ago, a minister got mad at me. Was he mad at me. Got in my face, fussed me out, you know, got belligerent, threatened me physically. I knew he wasn't going to do anything. But you know how it is when people jump bad. That's a 70s term. You know what I mean when I say that? They jump bad. Got all in my face, yelling and screaming and la-da-da. I just looked at him and smiled. Preacher! Sorry to say, it was a minister. And he was out of line. He was angry. He was very angry. And me being the kind, gracious, patient person that I am, proceeded to needle him. And for the rest of the day, I had to spend the rest of the day with this guy, with other people. The rest of the day, every time he looked at me, I'd look back and smile. I said, you got till sundown. You got till sundown. In other words, brother, you better get it right. You better get it right. Well, he didn't. And sad. He's in a sad state today. Very, very sad to see how he ended up. In other words, we're always going to have confrontations with people in life, but let's resolve them quickly. The Bible says about marriage relationships that husbands and wives, when you have a disagreement, it says, ensue peace. That means to follow it immediately. You're not going to find anybody on the planet that you agree with 100%. I like what I heard Pastor Dumont say. Conflict is inevitable, but combat is an option. Conflict's inevitable, but combat is an option. And so it's how you respond. What you need to do when you have a situation that makes you angry, communicate truth, resolve it immediately. And most of the time, it's just a misunderstanding. Somebody thought you said something you didn't. Amen? I had a fellow one time, he came up behind me at my desk, and he shared something with me, and I said, okay. He said, did you get that, Goomba? Well, he said Goomba. I thought he said Kunta. He said, did you get that, Kunta? And I stopped, I turned around, I wheeled around, I looked at him, I'm sitting in my chair, I said, what did you say? He said, Goomba, Goomba. I said, oh, okay, all right. He said, what'd you think I said? I said, I thought you said Kunta. I said, it was on. But it was a misunderstanding. I thought he said something he didn't say. And so many times in life, that's what it is, a miscommunication. There are times people have an agenda that's not godly. Well, I'm going to show you how to deal with that too. All right? Now, how to do it. If you can do this, you can conquer anger forever. Keep it under control. Here's some keys in the scripture. Psalm 37:8 says this, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, what does that mean? Here are some other translations. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Here's another one. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Here's another one. New Living Translation. Stop being angry. Turn away from fighting. Here's another one. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Here's another one. Stay away from anger and revenge. Keep envy far from you. Refrain from anger. Put away anger and turn from. In other words, there are times in life when we're faced with a decision. When something happens or somebody says to us, how are we going to respond? You might be offended, but you have control. Are you with me? Everybody say control.
Control.
You know, there have been times people have flown off the handle and I've heard them say, well, Pastor Bill, I just couldn't help it. Yes, you could. You didn't have to smack your sister upside the head. See, you know, pastoral ministry is more than just teaching good lessons on Sunday morning. Sometimes you got to deal with the phone calls. Pastor Bill, my brother just smacked me upside the head. Oh, goodness. Yeah, now I got to deal with this. This happened in Missouri. I'm an assistant pastor, and I used to get those phone calls. He just smacked me upside the head. Well, the problem was he was 6'7". And she's in her 40s. And her brother tried to knock her out. You know. And they called me. You know, sometimes I think, what you call me for? You know. All right, put him on the phone, you know. And I started talking to him and he's crying. Oh, Pastor Bill, I know I shouldn't have done it. Yeah, you're right. You know, but she just kept mouthing off at me and I couldn't help it. Yes, you could. Amen. Now, here's a very practical point, and it's laid out here in the scripture in some of these translations. Turn away from anger. What do you do when you have a potential explosive situation? Do what the Bible said. Turn away. Turn around and walk away. Did you get it? I had a man years ago. I was dealing with him in a business situation, and He was unhappy, and he had a right to be. And he stood on the street and cussed me out, called me everything but a child of God. You're an F in this, that, and the other. And at the time, I think I was 36 years old, and he was pushing 60. And he's cussing me out. And you know, when your ears hear words like that, your brain starts going into the defense mode. And then adrenaline starts pumping. And then all of a sudden, your body gets into the offensive mode and starts thinking about where can I hit him? You know, how can I take him out? How can I make it last? And I'm standing there, and I had this thought, and I knew I had two options. Knock him out or walk away. Well, thank God, because I'm born again, I have the Holy Spirit and the love of God within me, and the Holy Spirit restraining me, I knew what I should do. But my flesh wanted to do something else. You know what I did? I looked at him and I said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. Turned around, walked away. You with me? Walked away. 2 weeks later, this man lived in Ohio. 2 weeks later, I took my family to eat at a restaurant. And I had had a stressful day because I had to fire an employee that day. And I just wanted to relax, get my mind off work and everything that I had had to deal with that week. Went to a restaurant, sat down, were ordering food. I looked over at the next table, and there was that guy who cussed me out the week before. Lives in Ohio. I'm thinking, oh, God, what is he doing in the next table? Then his wife came over to our table and grabbed our daughter's cheek and said, oh, see, she's so cute. I'm thinking, God, you have a sense of humor. That's for sure. I had my ball cap on, and I kept it over my head. So finally, we had our meal. They're sitting there eating their meal. He didn't know it was me. He didn't recognize me. And so my wife said, let's get dessert. I said, no, we're gone. We're done. But that was funny. I thought, what are the odds of this fellow sitting right at the next table? You know, and a week before he called me everything but a child of God. I thank God I walked away. Amen? Sometimes you just got to walk away. Everybody say, walk away. That's what it means when it says turn from. Walk away. Here's another key. Proverbs 16:32 says, he that is slow to anger is mightier than he that takes a city. So here's another key. When you're dealing with situations and there's the potential for you to become angry, it's not a sin to be angry, but you need to resolve it that day. Resolve it immediately. But when somebody says or does something that makes you angry, slow down. He that is slow to anger exhibits strength. That's what the scripture is telling us. Slow it down. Don't be so quick with the lip. Don't be so quick with the lip. And this extends beyond words that you say verbally. There are times you get angry and you get on social media and you're going to tell them how it is. I recall on three different occasions I saw something on social media that made me angry. And I started typing my response. I mean, I was going to light into them and let them know how stupid they were. And before I could hit post, I knew in my spirit I should let it go. I knew in my spirit it was not that important. And so I ended up deleting the message. I don't care what they say. They have no impact on my life. Are you with me? Slow it down. One of the framers of the Constitution said this, when you're angry, count to 10 before you open your mouth. He said, when you're very angry, count to 100. Before you open your mouth, when you're angry, count to 10. If you're very angry, count to 100. So, we've seen two keys. Number one, turn away. Number two, slow down. Don't be so quick to respond. Many times, it's a miscommunication, and once you figure that out, everything's cool. Are you with me? But slow it down. And the other thing that happens when you slow it down, you can hear from God. You can hear the Spirit of God on the inside of you telling you what to do, what to say, how to respond. Instead of listening to that message in your head. That message in your head will get you in trouble. Amen? Here are two other scriptures, two other keys. Ephesians 4:31 says, put away anger, malice. Now the word put away is a term that literally means to find something, pick it up, because many times in life, because of our experience and what's happened to us, you know, we have defense mechanisms that we carry with us. We call it having a chip on your shoulder. You with me? And so many times when someone makes you angry, you've got your weapon of choice nearby. Well, what you need to do is take that weapon, pick it up, put it away from you. You with me? It's no longer in close proximity. It's no longer close by so that you can grab it and hurt somebody with it. That's what it means to put away. Colossians 3:8 says, put off anger, malice, and a bunch of other negative things that are hurtful. And what does it mean to put off? It means just like if you're wearing an ugly coat. Now, my coat looks good. My wife picked it out. But if you happen to wear an ugly coat, take it off. You don't need it. Well, guess what? A lot of people go through life wearing that ugly coat of anger. And you're known by that ugly coat. You know what I mean? Need to take that ugly coat off. Doesn't look good on you. You weren't designed to wear anything ugly like that. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Did you learn anything today? Yes. Hallelujah.